in her lap. It was for a soccer state championship, which I thought was pretty impressive. I really wanted to make friends with Joy. I'd had it in my head since the night before, when we'd chatted in the hall bathroom in our pajamas, both of us with our shower caddies. Joy was short, with a sandy bob and light eyes. She didn't wear makeup. She was sturdy and sure of herself, in the way that girls who play competitive sports are. "I'm Joy," she said. "My team won the state championship. If any of you guys like soccer, hit me up and we'll get a hall league going." When it was my turn, I said, "I'm Isabel. I like to swim." And Joy smiled at me. I always thought that college would be it. Like, instant friends, a place to belong. I didn't think it would be this hard. I thought there would be parties and mixers and midnight runs to the Waffle House. I'd been at college for 4 whole days, and I hadn't done any of those things. Jillian and I had eaten in the dining hall together, but that was about it. She was mostly on the phone with her boyfriend or on the computer. There had been no mention of clubbing or frat parties. I had a feeling Jillian was above that kind of thing. I wasn't, and Taylor wasn't either. I'd gone to visit her dorm once already, and she and her roommate were like 2 peas in a trendy little color-coordinated pod. Her roommate's boyfriend was in a fraternity, and he lived off campus. Taylor said she'd call if there were any cool parties that weekend, but so far, she hadn't. Taylor was taking to college like a goldfish to its brand new tank, and I just wasn't. I'd told Jeremiah I'd be busy making friends and bonding with my roommate, so I probably wouldn't see him until the weekend. I didn't want to go back on that. I didn't want to be one of those girls. Thursday night that first week, a bunch of girls were drinking in Joy's room. I could hear them down the hallway. I had been filling out my new planner, writing in all my classes and things. Jillian was at the library. We'd only had 1 day of classes so far, so I didn't know what she could possibly be studying. I still wished she'd asked me to go with her, though. Jeremiah had asked if I wanted him to come pick me up, but I'd said no, in the hopes that I would be invited somewhere. So far, it was just me and the planner. But then Joy popped her head in my doorway, which I'd been keeping open the same way the other girls had. "Isabel, come and hang with us," she said. "Sure," I said, practically leaping out of my bed. I felt this surge of hope and excitement. Maybe these were my people. There was Joy, her roommate Annika, Molly, who lived at the end of the hall, and Shay, the girl with the modeling book. They were all sitting on the floor, a big bottle of Gatorade in the middle. Only, it didn't look like Gatorade. It was light brownish yellow. Tequila, I guessed. I hadn't touched tequila since I'd gotten drunk off of it in Cousins the summer before. "Come sit down," Joy said, patting the floor next to her. "We're playing I Never. Have you ever played before?" "No," I said, sitting down next to her. "Basically, when it's your turn, you say something like, 'I never...'" Annika looked around the circle. "Hooked up with someone related to me." Everyone giggled. "And if you have, you have to drink," Molly finished, chewing on her thumbnail. "I'll start," said Joy, leaning forward. "I never... cheated on a test." Shay grabbed the bottle and took a swig. "What? I was busy modeling. I didn't have time to study," she said, and everyone laughed. Molly went next. "I never did it with anyone in public." That time, Joy took the bottle. "It was at a park," she explained. "It was getting dark. I doubt anyone saw us." Shay said, "Does a restaurant bathroom count?" I could feel my face get hot. I was dreading my turn. I hadn't done much of anything. My I nevers could probably last all night. "I never hooked up with Chad from the 4th floor," Molly said, collapsing into a fit of giggles. Joy threw a pillow at her. "No fair! I told you that in secret!" "Drink! Drink!" everyone chanted. Joy took a swig. Wiping her mouth, she said, "Your turn, Isabel." My mouth felt dry all of a sudden. I never... had sex. I never... played this game before, I finished lamely. I could feel Joy's disappointment in me. Maybe she'd thought we could be close friends too, and now she was rethinking it. Annika chuckled, just to be polite, and then they all took turns drinking before Joy started it up again with, I never went skinny dipping in the ocean. In a pool, though. Nope. Never did that either. Almost. That time I was 15, with Cam Cameron. But almost didn't count. I ended up taking one drink when Molly said, I never dated two people in the same family. You dated brothers? Joy asked me, looking interested all of a sudden. Or a brother and a sister? Coughing a little, I said, brothers. Twins? Shay said. At the same time? Molly wanted to know. No, not at the same time. And they're just regular brothers, I said. They're a year apart. That's kind of badass, Joy said, giving me an approving look. And then we went on to the next thing. When Shay said she'd never stolen before and Joy took a drink, I saw the look on Annika's face and I had to bite the insides of my cheeks to keep from laughing. She saw me and we exchanged a secret look. I saw Joy around after that, in the hall bathroom and in the study, and we talked, but we never became close. Jillian and I never became best buddies either, but she ended up being a pretty good roommate. Of all those girls, Annika was the one I ended up being closest to. Even though we were the same age, she took me under her wing like a little sister, and for once, I didn't mind being the little sister. Annika was too cool for me to care. She smelled the way I imagined wildflowers smelled when they grew in sand. Later, I found out it was the oil she put in her hair. Annika almost never gossiped. She didn't eat meat, and she was a dancer. I admired all of those things about her. I was sorry we'd never be roommates. From now on, I'd only ever have one roommate again. Jeremiah, my soon-to-be husband. Chapter 17. I woke up early the next day. I showered, threw away my shower shoes, and got ready one last time in my dorm room. I didn't put my ring on, just in case. I put it in the zippered pocket in my purse. My dad wasn't the most observant guy when it came to accessories, so it wasn't likely he'd notice. But still. My dad was at the dorm by 10 o'clock to move me out. Jeremiah helped. I didn't even have to give him a wake-up call the way I'd planned. He showed up at my room at 9:30 with coffee and donuts for my dad. I stopped in some of the girls' rooms, hugging them goodbye, wishing them good summers. Lori said, see you in August, and Jules said, we have to hang out more next year. I said goodbye to Annika last, and I teared up a little. She hugged me and said, chill out, I'll see you at the wedding. Tell Taylor I'll be emailing her about our bridesmaid dresses. I laughed out loud. Taylor was going to love that. Not. After we were done loading up the car, my dad took us to lunch at a steak restaurant. It wasn't super fancy, but it was nice. A family place, with leather booths and pickles at the table. Order whatever you like, guys, my dad said, sliding into the booth. Jeremiah and I sat across from him. I looked at the menu and picked the New York strip because it was cheapest. My dad wasn't poor, but he definitely wasn't rich either. When the waitress came over to take our orders, my dad ordered the salmon. I got the New York strip, and Jeremiah said, I'll have the dry-aged ribeye, medium rare. The ribeye was the most expensive thing on the menu. It cost $38. I looked at him and thought, he probably didn't even look at the price. He never had to, not when all his bills got sent to his dad. Things were gonna change when we were married, that was for sure. No more spending money on dumb stuff like vintage Air Jordans or steak. So, what do you have going on this summer, Jeremiah? My dad asked. Jeremiah looked at me, and then back at my dad, and then back at me. I shook my head, just slightly. I had this vision of him asking my dad for his blessing, and it was all wrong. My dad couldn't find out before my mother. I'm going to be interning at my dad's company again, Jeremiah said. Good for you, my dad said. That'll keep you busy.
For sure.
My dad looked at me.
What about you, Belly? Are you going to waitress again?
I sucked soda from the bottom of my glass. Yeah, I'm gonna go in and talk to my old manager next week. They always need help in the summer, so it should be all right. With the wedding just a couple of months away, I would just have to work doubly, triply hard. When the bill came, I saw my dad squint and take a closer look. I hoped Jeremiah didn't notice. But when I realized he hadn't, I kind of wished he had. I always felt closest to my dad when I was sitting in the passenger seat of his minivan, studying his profile, the two of us listening to his Bill Evans CD. Drives with my dad were our quiet times together, when we might talk about nothing and everything. So far, the drive had been a quiet one. He was humming along with the music when I said, Dad?
Hmm?
I wanted to tell him so badly. I wanted to share it with him, to have it happen during this perfect moment when I was still his little girl in the passenger seat, and he was still the one driving the car. It would be a moment just between us. I'd stopped calling him Daddy in middle school, but it was in my heart. Daddy, I'm getting married. Nothing, I said at last. I couldn't do it. I couldn't tell him before I told my mother. It wouldn't be right. He went back to humming. Just a little bit longer, Dad. Chapter 18. I'd thought it would take at least a little time to adjust to being at home again after being away at college, but I fell back into my old routine pretty much right away. Before the end of the first week, I was unpacked and having early morning breakfasts with my mom and fighting with my brother Stephen over the state of the bathroom we shared. I was messy, but Stephen took it to a whole new level. I guessed it ran in our family. And I started working at Bears again, taking as many shifts as they would let me, sometimes two a day. The night before we all went to Cousins for the dedication of Susanna's garden, Jer and I were talking on the phone. We were talking about wedding stuff, and I told him some of Taylor's ideas. He loved them all, but balked at the idea of a carrot cake.
I want a chocolate cake, he said, with raspberry filling.
Maybe one layer can be carrot and one can be chocolate, I suggested, cradling the phone to my shoulder. I've heard they can do that. I was sitting on my bedroom floor, counting my tips for the night. I hadn't even changed out of my work shirt yet, even though it had grease stains all down the front, but I was too beat to bother. I just loosened the necktie.
A chocolate raspberry carrot cake?
With cream cheese frosting for my layer, I reminded him.
Sounds kind of complicated to me flavor profile-wise, but fine. Let's do it.
I smiled to myself as I stacked my ones and fives and tens. Jeremiah was watching a lot of Food Network since he'd been home. Well, first we have to be able to pay for this alleged cake, I said. I've been taking all the shifts I can, and I've only got $120 saved so far. Taylor says wedding cakes are really expensive. Maybe I should ask her mom to bake the cake instead. Mrs. Jewell's a really good baker. We probably couldn't ask for anything too fancy, though. Jeremiah had been silent on the other line. Then he finally said,
I don't know if you should keep working at Bears.
What are you talking about? We need the money.
Yeah, but I have the money my mom left me. We can use that for the wedding. I don't like you having to work so hard, But you're working too. I'm an intern. It's a bullshit job. I'm not working half as hard as you are for this wedding. I sit around an office, and you're busting your ass working double shifts at Bears. It doesn't feel right.
If this is because I'm the girl and you're the guy, I began.
That's not it, dude. I'm just saying, why should you have to work this hard when I have money in my savings account?
I thought we said we were going to do this on our own.
I've been doing some internet research, and it looks like it's going to be a lot more expensive than we thought. Even if we go really simple, we still have to pay for food and drinks and flowers.
We're only getting married once, Belly.
True. My mom would want to contribute, right?
I guess.
Susanna would want to do more than contribute. She'd want to be there every step of the way. Dress shopping, deciding on the flowers and food, all of it. She'd want to do it up.
I always pictured her there on my wedding day, sitting next to my mom, wearing a fancy hat. It was a really nice picture.
So, let's let her contribute. Besides, you're going to get really busy with wedding planning stuff with Taylor. I'll help as much as I can. But I still have to be at work from 9 to 5. When you call caterers and flower people or whatever, that'll have to be during the day and I won't be able to be there.
I was really impressed that he thought of all this. I liked this other side of him, thinking ahead, worrying about my health. I had just been complaining about calluses on my feet, too.
Let's talk more about it after we tell our parents, I told him.
Are you still nervous?
I'd been trying not to think about it too much.
At Bears, I focused all my energy on delivering bread baskets and refilling drinks and cutting slices of cheesecake. In a way, I was glad to be working double shifts, because it kept me out of the house and away from my mother's watchful eye. I hadn't worn my engagement ring since I'd been home. I only pulled it out at night, in my room. I said, I'm scared, but I'll be relieved to finally have it out in the open. I hate keeping things from my mom.
I know, he said.
I looked at the clock. It was 12:30. We're gonna leave early tomorrow morning, so I should probably go to sleep. I hesitated before asking, are you driving up with just your dad? What's the deal with Conrad?
I have no clue. I haven't talked to him. I think he's flying in tomorrow. We'll see if he even shows.
I wasn't sure if it was disappointment I was feeling or relief. Probably both. I doubt he'll come, I said.
You never know with Con. He might come, he might not.
He added, don't forget to bring your ring. I won't. Then we said goodnight. And it was a long time before I could fall asleep. I think I was afraid. Afraid that he was coming, and afraid that he wasn't. Chapter 19. I was up before the alarm. I was showered with my new dress on before Stephen was even awake. I was the first one in the car. My dress was lavender silk chiffon. It had a tight bodice and narrow straps and a floaty skirt, the kind you'd spin around in like a girl in a musical. Something Kim McAfee might wear. I'd seen it in a store window in February, when it was still too cold to wear it without tights. Tights would ruin it. I'd used my father's For Emergencies Only card, the one I'd never used before. The dress had stayed in my closet all this time, still covered in plastic. When my mother saw me, she burst into a smile and said, "You look beautiful. Beck would love this dress." Stephen said, "Not bad," and I gave them both a little curtsy. It was just that kind of dress. My mother drove, and I sat in front. Stephen slept in the back seat, his mouth open. He was wearing a button-down shirt and khaki pants. My mother looked nice, too, in her navy pantsuit and cream pumps.
"Conrad's definitely coming today, right, Bean?" my mother asked me. You're the one who talks to him.
Not me, I said. I put my bare feet on the dashboard. My high heels were in a heap on the floor of the car. Checking her rearview mirror, my mother said, I haven't spoken to Conrad in a few weeks, but I'm sure he'll be there. He wouldn't miss something as important as this. When I didn't say anything, she glanced at me and said, Do you disagree? Sorry, Mom, but I wouldn't get my hopes up. I didn't know why I couldn't just agree with her. I didn't know what was holding me back. Because I really did believe he was coming. If I didn't, would I have taken extra care with my hair that morning? In the shower, would I have shaved my legs not once, but twice, just to be safe? Would I have put on that new dress and worn those heels that made my feet hurt if I truly didn't believe he was coming? No. Deep down, I more than believed it. I knew it.
Have you heard anything from Conrad, Laurel? Mr. Fisher asked my mother.
We were standing in the parking lot of the Women's Center. Mr. Fisher, Jer, Stephen, my mother, and me. People were starting to file into the building. Mr. Fisher had already checked inside twice. Conrad wasn't there. My mother shook her head. I haven't heard anything new. When I spoke to him last month, he said he was coming. If he's late, we can just save him a seat, I offered.
I'd better get inside,
Jeremiah said. He was accepting the plaque commemorating the day on behalf of Susanna. We watched him go because there was nothing else to do. Then Mr. Fisher said,
Maybe we should go in too.
And he looked defeated. I could see where he'd cut himself shaving. His chin looked raw. Let's do that, my mother said, straightening up. Belly, why don't you wait here for another minute?
Sure, I said. You guys go ahead. I'll wait.
When the three of them were inside, I sat down on the curb. My feet were hurting already. I waited for another 10 minutes, and when he still didn't show, I got up. So he wasn't coming after all. Chapter 20 Conrad.
I saw her before she saw me. In the front row. I saw her sitting with my dad and Laurel and Stephen. She had her hair pulled back, pinned up on the sides. I'd never seen her wear hair like that before. She had on a light purple dress. She looked grown up. It occurred to me that she had grown up while I wasn't looking. That there was every likelihood she had changed, and I didn't know her anymore. But when she stood up to clap, I saw the band-aid on her ankle and I recognized her again. She was Belly. She kept messing with the barrettes in her hair. One was coming loose. My plane had been delayed. And even though I'd done 80 the whole way to Cousins, I was still late. Jeremiah was starting his speech just as I walked in. There was an empty seat up front next to my dad, but I just stood in the back. I saw Laurel shift in her seat, scanning the room before turning back around. She didn't see me. A woman from the shelter got up and thanked everyone for coming. She talked about how great my mom was, how dedicated she was to the shelter, how much money she raised for it, how much awareness in the community. She said my mom was a gift. It was funny. I'd known my mom was involved with the women's shelter, but I didn't know how much she gave of herself. I felt a jolt of shame as I remembered the time she'd asked me to go to help her serve breakfast one Saturday morning. I'd blown her off, told her I had stuff I needed to do. Then Jer got up and went to the podium.
Thanks, Mona, he said. Today means so much to my family, and I know it would have meant even more to my mom. The women's shelter was really important to her. Even when we weren't here in Cousins, she was still thinking about you guys. And she loved flowers. She used to say she needed them to breathe. She would be so honored by this garden. It was a good speech. Our mom would have been proud to see him up there. I should have been up there with him. She would have really liked that. She would have liked the roses, too. I watched Jer sit down in the first row in the seat next to Belly. I watched him take her hand. The muscles in my stomach clenched, and I moved behind a woman in a wide-brimmed hat. This was a mistake. Coming back here was a mistake.
Chapter 21. The speeches were over, and everyone had gone outside and started milling around the garden.
What kind of flowers do you want for the wedding?
Jeremiah asked me in a low voice. I smiled and shrugged. Pretty ones? What did I know about flowers? What did I know about weddings, for that matter? I hadn't been to many, only my cousin Beth's that time I was a flower girl, and our neighbor's. But I liked this game we were playing. It was like pretend, but real. Then I saw him. Standing there in the back was Conrad, in a gray suit. I stared, and he lifted his hand in a wave. I lifted mine, but I didn't move. Couldn't move. Next to me, I heard Jeremiah clear his throat. I started. I'd forgotten he was standing next to me. For those couple of seconds, I forgot everything. Then Mr. Fisher was pushing past us, striding over to him. They embraced. My mother swept Conrad into her arms. Then my brother came up from behind and pounded him on the back. Jeremiah made his way over, too. I was last. I found myself walking over to them. Hi, I said. I didn't know what to do with my hands. I left them at my sides. He said,
Hi.
Then he opened his arms up wide and gave me a look that was a lot like a dare. Hesitantly, I stepped into them. He crushed me in a bear hug and lifted me off the ground a little. I squealed and held down my skirt. Everyone laughed. When Conrad set me back down, I moved closer to Jer. He wasn't laughing.
Conrad's glad to have his little sister around again, Mr. Fisher said in a jovial kind of way.
I wondered if he even knew that Conrad and I had once dated. Probably not. It had only been 6 months. It was nothing compared to the time Jeremiah and I had spent together.
How have you been, little sis?
Conrad asked. He had that look on his face, part mocking, part mischievous. I knew that look. I'd seen it so many times. Great, I said, looking at Jeremiah. We're really great. Jeremiah didn't look back at me. Instead, he pulled his phone out of his pocket and said,
I'm starving.
I could feel a little knot in my stomach. Was he mad at me?
Let's get some pictures by the garden before we go, my mother said.
Mr. Fisher clapped his hands and rubbed them together. Putting his arms around Jeremiah and Conrad, he said,
I want a picture with the fishermen,
which made us all laugh. This time, Jeremiah, too. That was one of Mr. Fisher's oldest and corniest jokes. Whenever he and the boys would come back from fishing trips, he would yell, The fishermen have returned! By Susanna's rose garden,
We took pictures of Jeremiah and Mr. Fisher and Conrad. Then one with Stephen, too. Then one with me and my mother and Stephen and Jeremiah. All sorts of combinations. Jer said, "I want one of just me and Billy." And I was relieved. We stood in front of the roses, and right before my mother snapped the picture, Jeremiah kissed me on the cheek. "That's a nice one," my mother said. Then she said, "Let's have one of all the kids." We stood together. Jeremiah, Conrad, me, Stephen. Conrad slung his arm around Jeremiah's and my shoulders. It was all like no time had passed. The summer kids together again. I rode with Jeremiah to the restaurant. My mother and Stephen took one car. Mr. Fisher and Conrad both drove separately. "Maybe we shouldn't tell them today," I said suddenly. "Maybe we should wait." Jeremiah turned down the music.
"What do you mean?"
"I don't know. Maybe today should just be about Susanna and family. Maybe we should wait."
"I don't want to have to wait. You and me getting married is about family. It's about our two families coming together. As one."
Grinning, he grabbed my hand and lifted it in the air.
"I want you to be able to wear your ring right now, loud and proud."
"I am loud and proud," I said.
"Then let's just do it like we planned."
"Okay." As we pulled into the restaurant parking lot, Jeremiah said to me,
"Don't have hurt feelings if, you know, if he says anything."
I blinked.
"Who?" "My dad. You know how he is. You can't take it personally. Okay?"
I nodded. We walked into the restaurant holding hands. Everyone else was already there and seated at a round table. I sat down, Jeremiah on my left and my brother on my right. I grabbed the bread basket and took a roll. I smeared it with butter before I stuffed most of it into my mouth. Stephen shook his head at me.
"Pig," he mouthed.
Glaring at him, I said, "I didn't eat breakfast."
"I ordered a bunch of appetizers," Mr. Fisher told me.
"Thanks, Mr. Fisher," I said, my mouth partly full. He smiled.
"Billy, we're all adults here. I think you should call me Adam now. No more Mr. Fisher."
Underneath the table, Jeremiah gave my thigh a squeeze. I almost laughed out loud. Then I had another thought. Like, was I going to have to call Mr. Fisher Dad after we were married? I would have to talk to Jeremiah about that one. "I'll try," I said. Mr. Fisher looked at me expectantly. And I added, "Adam." Stephen asked Conrad,
"So why don't you ever leave California?"
"I'm here, aren't I?"
"Yeah, for like the first time since you left, practically."
Stephen nudged him and lowered his voice.
"You got a girl out there?"
"No,"
Conrad said.
"No girl."
The champagne arrived then, and when all our glasses were full, Mr. Fisher tapped his knife to his glass.
"I'd like to make a toast,"
he said. My mother rolled her eyes just barely. Mr. Fisher was famous for making speeches, but today actually called for one.
"I want to thank everyone for coming together today to celebrate Susanna. It's a special day, and I'm glad we can share it together."
Mr. Fisher lifted his glass.
"To Suze."
Nodding, my mother said,
"To Beck."
We all clinked glasses and drank. And before I could put mine down, Jeremiah gave me this look like, "Get ready. It's happening." My stomach lurched. I took another gulp of my champagne and nodded.
"I have something to say," Jeremiah announced.
While everyone was waiting to hear what it was, I snuck a look over at Conrad. He had his arm draped over the back of Stephen's chair, and they'd been laughing about something. His face was easy and relaxed. I had this wild impulse to stop Jeremiah, to clap my hand over his mouth and keep him from saying it. Everybody was so happy. This was going to wreck it.
I'll just go ahead and warn you. It's really good news.
Jeremiah flashed a smile at everyone, and I braced myself. He was being too glib, I thought. My mother wouldn't like that.
I asked Belly to marry me, and she said yes. She said yes! We're getting married this August.
It was like the restaurant got really quiet all of a sudden. Like, all the noise and chatter got sucked out of the room. Everything just stopped. I looked across the table at my mother. Her face was ashen. Stephen choked on the water he was drinking. Coughing, he said, "What the?" And Conrad, his face was completely blank. It was surreal. The waiter came by then with the appetizers. Calamari and cocktail shrimp and a tower of oysters.
"Are you guys ready to order your entrees?"
he asked, rearranging the table so there was room for everything. His voice tight, Mr. Fisher said,
"I think we need a few more minutes."
And glanced at my mother. She looked dazed. She opened, then closed her mouth. Then she looked right at me and asked, "Are you pregnant?" I felt all the blood rush to my cheeks. Beside me, I could feel rather than hear Jeremiah choke. My mother's voice shook as she said shrilly,
"I don't believe this. How many times have we discussed contraception, Isabel?"
I could not have been more mortified. I looked at Mr. Fisher, who was beet red, and then I looked at the waiter, who was pouring water for the table next to ours. Our eyes met. I was pretty sure he'd been in my psychology class.
"Mom, I'm not pregnant."
Earnestly, Jeremiah said,
"Laurel, I swear to you, it's nothing like that."
My mother ignored him. She looked only at me.
"Then what is happening here? Where is this coming from?"
My lips felt really dry all of a sudden. Fleetingly, I thought of what had led up to Jeremiah's proposal, and just as quickly the thought flitted away. None of that mattered anymore. What mattered was that we were in love. I said, "We want to get married, Mom."
"You're too young,"
she said in a flat voice.
"You're both far too young."
Jeremiah coughed.
"Lore, we love each other, and we want to be together."
"You are together," my mother snapped.
Then she turned to Mr. Fisher, her eyes narrowed.
"Did you know about this?"
"Calm down, Laurel. They're joking. You were joking, right?"
Jer and I shared a look before he said in a soft voice,
"No, we're not joking."
My mother swallowed the rest of her champagne, emptying her glass.
"You two are not getting married. Period. You're both still in school, for God's sake. It's ridiculous."
Clearing his throat, Mr. Fisher said,
"Maybe after you kids both graduate, we can discuss it again."
"A few years after you graduate," my mother put in.
"Right,"
Mr. Fisher said. "Dad," Jeremiah began. The server was back at Mr. Fisher's shoulder before Jeremiah could finish whatever it was he was going to say. He just stood there for a moment looking awkward before asking,
"Do you have any questions about the menu? Or, are we just doing appetizers today?"
"We'll just take the check," my mother said, tight-lipped. There was all this food on the table, and no one was touching it. No one was saying anything. I was right before. This was a mistake, a tactical error of epic proportions. We never should have told them like this. Now they were a team, united against us. We barely got a word in edgewise. I reached into my purse, and under the tablecloth, I put my engagement ring on. It was the only thing I could think to do. When I reached for my water glass, Jeremiah saw the ring and squeezed my knee again. My mother saw too. Her eyes flashed, and she looked away. Mr. Fisher paid the bill, and for once, my mother didn't argue.
We all stood up. Quickly, Stephen filled a cloth napkin with shrimp. And then we were leaving. Me trailing my mother. Jeremiah following Mr. Fisher. Behind me, I heard Stephen whispering to Conrad,
"Holy shit, man! This is crazy! Did you know about this?"
I heard Conrad tell him no. Outside, he hugged my mother goodbye and then got in his car and drove away. He didn't look back once. When we got to our car, I asked my mother very quietly, "Can I have the keys?" "What for?" I wet my lips. "I need to get my book bag out of the trunk. I'm going with Jeremiah, remember?" I could see my mother struggle to hold her temper. She said, "No, you're not. You're coming home with us." "But Mom..." Before I could finish, she'd already handed the keys to Stephen and climbed into the passenger seat. She closed the door. I looked at Jeremiah, helplessly. Mr. Fisher was already in his car, and Jeremiah was hanging back, waiting. More than anything, I wished I could leave with him. I was really, really scared to get into the car with my mother. I was in trouble like I had never known.
"Get in the car, Belly," Stephen said.
"Don't make it worse."
"You'd better go,"
Jeremiah said. I ran over to him and hugged him tight.
"I'll call you tonight,"
he whispered into my hair. "If I'm still alive," I whispered back. Then I walked away from him and climbed into the back seat. Stephen started the car, his napkin a white bundle in his lap. My mother caught my eye in the rearview mirror and said,
"You're returning that ring, Isabel."
If I backed down now, everything was lost. I had to be strong. "I'm not returning it," I said. Chapter 22. My mother and I didn't speak to each other for a week. I avoided her, and she ignored me. I worked at Bear's, mostly to get out of the house. I ate lunch and dinner there. After my shifts, I went over to Taylor's, and when I got home, I talked to Jeremiah on the phone. He begged me to at least try to talk to my mother. I knew he was worried that she hated him now, and I assured him that he wasn't the one she was mad at. That was all me. One night, after a late shift at the restaurant, I was on my way to my room when I stopped short. I heard the muffled sound of my mother crying behind her closed door. I was frozen to the spot, my heart thudding in my chest. Standing outside her door, listening to her weep, I was ready to give it all up. In that moment, I would have done anything, said anything to make her stop crying. In that moment, she had me. My hand was on the doorknob, and the words were right there, on the tip of my tongue. "Okay, I won't do it." But then it got quiet. She'd stopped crying on her own. I waited a little longer, and when I didn't hear anything more, I let go of the doorknob and went to my room. In the dark, I took off my work clothes and got into bed. And I cried, too. I woke up to the smell of my father's Turkish coffee. For just those few seconds, right in between sleep and wakefulness, I was 10 again. And my dad still lived with us, and the biggest thing I had to worry about was my math homework. I started to fall back to sleep, and then I woke up with a start. There could only be one reason my dad was here. My mother had told him. I'd wanted to be the one to tell him, to explain. She'd beaten me to it. I was mad, but at the same time I felt glad. Her telling my father meant that she was finally taking this seriously. After I showered, I headed downstairs. They were sitting in the living room drinking coffee. My dad had on his weekend clothes, jeans and a plaid short-sleeved shirt, and a belt. Always a belt.
Morning, I said. Have a seat, my mother said, setting her mug down on a coaster. I sat. My hair was still wet, and I was trying to work my comb through the tangles. Clearing his throat, my father said,
So, your mother told me what's going on.
Dad, I wanted to tell you myself. I really did. Mom beat me to the punch. I threw her a pointed look, but she didn't appear the least bit bothered by it.
I'm not in favor of this either, Belly. I think you're too young.
He cleared his throat again.
We've discussed it, and if you want to live with Jeremiah in an apartment this fall, we'll allow it. You'll have to chip in if it costs more than the dorms, but we'll pay what we've been paying.
I wasn't expecting that. A compromise. I was sure it had been my dad's idea, but I couldn't take the deal. Dad, I don't just want to live in an apartment with Jeremiah. That's not why we're getting married. Then why are you getting married? My mother asked me. We love each other. We've thought it through. We really have. My mother gestured at my left hand. Who paid for that ring?
I know Jeremiah doesn't have a job.
I put my hand in my lap. He used his credit card, I said. His credit card that Adam pays for. If Jeremiah can't afford a ring, he has no business buying one. It didn't cost much. I had no idea how much the ring had cost, but the diamond was so little, I figured it couldn't have been that expensive. Sighing, my mother glanced over at my father and then back at me.
You might not believe me when I say this, but when your father and I got married, we were very much in love. Very, very much in love. We went into marriage with the best of intentions, but all of that just wasn't enough to sustain us.
Their love for each other, Stephen and me, our family, none of it was enough to make their marriage work. I knew all of that already. Do you regret it? I asked her. Belly, it isn't as simple as that. I interrupted her. Do you regret our family? Do you regret me and Stephen? Sighing deeply, she said,
No.
Dad, do you?
Belly, no. Of course not. That's not what your mother's trying to say.
Jeremiah and I aren't you and Mom. We've known each other our whole lives. I tried to appeal to my father. Dad, your cousin Martha got married young, and she and Bert have been married for like 30 years. It can work. I know it can. Jeremiah and I will make it work, just like they did. We're going to be happy. We just want you guys to be happy for us. Please be happy for us. My father rubbed his beard in a way I knew well. He was going to defer to my mother the way he always did. Any second, he would look at her with a question in his eyes. It was all up to her now. Actually, it had always been up to her. We both looked at her. My mother was the judge. That was the way it worked in our family. She closed her eyes briefly and then said,
I can't support you in this decision, Isabel. If you go forward with this wedding, I won't support it. I won't be there.
It knocked the wind out of me. Even though I was expecting it, her continued disapproval. Still, I thought she'd come around, at least a little. Mom, I said, my voice breaking. Come on! Looking pained, my father said,
Belly, let's all just think on this some more. Okay, this is very sudden for us.
I ignored him and looked only at my mother. Pleadingly, I said, Mom? I know you don't mean that.
She shook her head.
I do mean it.
Mom, you can't not be at my wedding. That's crazy. I tried to sound calm, like I wasn't on the verge of out-and-out hysteria. No, what's crazy is the idea of a teenager getting married. She pressed her lips together. I don't know what to say to get through to you. How do I get through to you, Isabel? You can't, I said. My mother leaned forward, her eyes fixed on me. Don't do this. It's already decided. I'm marrying Jeremiah. I stood up, jerkily. If you can't be happy for me, then maybe... maybe it's best you don't come. I was already at the staircase when my dad called out, Belly, wait! I stopped. And then I heard my mother say, let her go. When I was in my room, I called Jeremiah. The first thing he said was, do you want me to talk to her? That won't help. I'm telling you, she's made up her mind. I know her. She won't budge. At least not right now. He was silent. Then what do you want to do? I don't know. I started to cry. Do you want to postpone the wedding?
No!
Then what should we do?
Wiping my face, I said, I guess just move ahead with the wedding. Start planning. As soon as we got off the phone, I started seeing things more clearly. I just needed to separate emotion from reason. Refusing to go to the wedding was my mother's trump card. It was the only leg she had to stand on. And she was bluffing. She had to be bluffing. No matter how upset or disappointed she was in me, I couldn't believe that she would miss her only daughter's wedding. I just couldn't. All there was to do now was to steamroll ahead and set this wedding in motion, with or without my mother by my side. This was happening. Chapter 23. I was folding my laundry when Stephen knocked on my door later that night. As usual, he only gave me a couple of seconds before opening it. He never waited for me to say, "Come in." He came into the room and shut the door behind him. Stephen stood in my room awkwardly, leaning against the wall, his arms folded against his chest. "What?" I said, although I already knew.
"So, are you and Jer serious about this?"
I stacked some t-shirts into a pile.
"Yes."
Stephen crossed the room and sat at my desk, absorbing my answer for a minute. Then he faced me, straddling the chair, and said,
"You realize that's insane, right? We're not living in the foothills of West Virginia. There's no reason you have to get married so young."
"What do you know about West Virginia?" I scoffed. "You've never even been there."
"That's besides the point."
"What is your point?"
"My point is, you guys are too young.
Did Mom send you up here to talk to me?"
"No,"
he said, and I knew he was lying.
"I'm just worried about you."
I stared him down.
"Okay, yeah, she did,"
he admitted.
"But I would have come up anyway.
You're not going to change my mind.
Listen, nobody knows you two better than me."
He stopped, weighing his words.
"I love Jer. He's like a brother to me. But you're my little sister. You come first. This whole marriage idea, I'm sorry, but I think it's stupid. If you guys love each other that much, you can wait a couple of years to be together. And if you can't, you for sure shouldn't be getting married."
I felt both touched and annoyed. Stephen never said things like, "you come first." But then he called me stupid, which was more like him. "I don't expect you to understand," I said. I folded, then refolded another t-shirt. "Jeremiah wants you and Conrad to be his best men." Stephen's face broke into a smile.
"He does?"
"Yeah," I said. Stephen looked really happy. But then he caught me looking at him, and he wiped his smile away.
I don't think Mom will let me be in the wedding.
Stephen, you're 21 years old. You can decide that for yourself. He frowned. I could tell I'd injured his pride. He said,
Well, I still don't think it's your smartest move.
Noted, I said. I'm still doing it.
Oh, man, Mom's gonna kill me. I was supposed to talk you out of getting married, not get roped into the wedding party,
Stephen said, getting up. I hid my smile. That is, until Stephen added,
Con and I had better start planning the bachelor party.
Quickly, I said, Jer doesn't want any of that. Stephen puffed up his chest.
You don't get a say in it, Belly. You're a girl. This is man stuff.
Man stuff? Grinning, he shut my door. Chapter 24. Despite what I'd said to Stephen, I still found myself waiting for my mother. Waiting for her to come around. Waiting for her to give in. I didn't want to start planning the wedding until she said yes. But when days passed and she refused to discuss it, I knew I couldn't wait any longer. Thank God for Taylor. She brought over a big white binder with clippings from wedding magazines and checklists and all kinds of stuff. I was saving this for my wedding, but we can use it for yours too, she said. All I had was one of my mother's yellow legal pads. I had written wedding at the top and made a list of things I needed to do. The list looked pretty skimpy next to Taylor's binder. We were sitting on my bed, papers and bride magazines all around us. Taylor was all business. She said, First things first, we have to find you a dress. August is really, really soon. It doesn't feel that soon, I said. Well, it is. 2 months to plan a wedding is nothing. In wedding speak, that's like tomorrow. Well, I guess since the wedding is going to be simple, the dress should be too, I said. Taylor frowned. How simple? Really simple. As simple as it gets. Nothing poofy or frou-frou. She nodded to herself. I can picture it. It's very Cindy Crawford wedding on the beach, very Carolyn Bessette. Yeah, sounds good, I said. I had no idea what either of their wedding dresses looked like. I didn't even know who Carolyn Bessette was. After I had the dress, it would feel more real. I would be able to visualize it happening. Right now, it still felt too abstract. What about shoes? I gave her a look. Like I'm gonna wear heels on the beach. I can barely walk in heels on level ground. Taylor ignored me. What about my bridesmaid dress? I pushed some magazines onto the carpet so I could lie down. I stretched my legs as high as I could and put my feet up on the wall. I was thinking mustard yellow. Maybe in a satiny kind of material. Taylor hated mustard yellow. Mustard yellow satin. Taylor repeated, nodding and trying hard to keep the disgust off her face. I could tell she was torn between her vanity and her credo, which was, the bride is always right. That could maybe work with Annika's skin tone. I'm more of a spring, but if I started tanning now, it could work. I laughed. I'm kidding. You can wear whatever you want. Dork, she said, looking relieved. She slapped my thigh. You're so immature. I can't believe you're getting married. Me neither. But I guess it makes sense. In a Twilight Zone kind of way. You and Jer have known each other for like a grillion years. It's meant to be. How long is a grillion years? It's forever. In the air, she spelled out my initials. BC plus JF, forever. Forever, I echoed happily. Forever I could do. Me and Jer. Chapter 25.
On my way out to meet Taylor at the mall the next day, I stopped by my mother's office. I'm going to look